Relationships. As humans, we're hardwired for them. What would it be like to have a guide to relationships that are authentic? Tap into the collective wisdom of teachers, authors, and healers who have accumulated experience on this subject. I've learned that there are overlapping soul circles of people in our lives. Family of choice. Welcome to the family.
And welcome to It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and that lovely music that leads us into the show and ushers us out of the show was written by my friend Barry Goldstein. It's called Prayer of the Heart. And if you want to hear more of Barry's beautiful music, go to www.barrygoldstein.com. Now, my guest today is someone I've known 15 years, maybe more than that. I don't know. She's part of my regular life, local life. And she is a Renaissance woman. She is a three-decade long-distance truck driver, handywoman, philosopher, speaker, interfaith minister, singer-songwriter, and she loves talking physics. So we're gonna talk physics to me, baby. This is Annabella Wood. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Edie. It's my honor and privilege to be here.
Thank you. So a little bit of background so people know we're all... what drove you to become a truck driver, and how did that impact on what you're doing now?
I always wanted to be a truck driver. From a little girl, I was fascinated by trucks. I loved the big wheels. When I was in the car and a truck would pass us, I would just watch those wheels, and I'd look up and I'd know there was some little tiny person inside driving that great big thing, and that's all I wanted to do.
And I know for you that your truck had become a sanctuary, an ashram of sorts. Was that a place where you could develop all of these things that you're...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was like a womb for me where I could... listen to anything I needed to, and on Course in Miracles.
So that, I don't know if you got cut off there, but you said Course in Miracles. And then I also know that you had some pretty amazing, miraculous experiences, one in particular that you shared about almost not making it. We lost Annabella, so we're going to give her a call back. And sometimes miracles happen in that form. So we're going to go to commercial now, folks, and we'll catch you on the other side of the break.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
It's All About Relationships is a gathering of friends worldwide. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein. Join us each Thursday night from 8 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. My guests are dynamic leaders in the field of human interaction, and no topic is off the table, from sexuality to spirituality to self-love. I'm a best-selling author, speaker, therapist, interfaith minister, and optimistic who sees the world through the eyes of possibility. Visit me at opti-mystical.com.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to the next portion of It's All About Relationships. Sometimes technical glitches happen in this connected universe, which is what the title of the show is, Me Coming Back to Me. And Annabella, what we were talking about was how your truck was a sanctuary in which you were able to practice the concepts in Course in Miracles, and you've had a pretty miraculous experience. of almost not making it out of your truck at one point. Can you share about that
yeah.
a little bit?
Well, I strangely enough, I'm not even sure which one you're referring to because it happened more than once. And I just noticed that that I was divinely guided and guarded every step of the way. And at about 25 years on the road, I realized that I had never witnessed a single traffic accident. And I had over 2 million miles logged at the time. And I thought how extraordinary that was. I started feeling a little bit like a road angel, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I saw more than once where an accident was going to happen. And one time in particular, I really believe I saw one car pass through a policeman who was standing there with no car around him, the car that he was giving the ticket to, and was on the other side. They passed mm-hmm. through each other without having an accident. And it was amazing. And it really got me thinking about what is this world that we live in? What are these forces that make up matter? And why is it that sometimes that happens? Because I saw that happen a couple of times. Three.
So what have you come up with? What do you working on?
I couldn't come up with anything on my own, but I have run across a unified physics, which is developed by a man named Nassim Haramein, and his website is Resonance Project. I don't know if it's .com or just Google Resonance Project, and it'll come up. And it's a science where he went back to Einstein and Max Planck and Buckminster Fuller and started with their original equations and said, what is a different way that we can interpret what these equations mean? The equations are correct, but could we interpret their meaning differently? And he extrapolated from that into an entirely different direction. And it's one that gives physical explanation for a completely connected universe, a universe that is developed and brought about by our consciousness, and how he describes the physics behind how our consciousness becomes the material in our lives. And in this way, it's possible for these non-accidents to have taken place around me. If my consciousness was, no one's going to get hurt while I'm here, then that's how that took place. My consciousness set it up, and his physics is absolutely mathematically perfect. So his physics is more perfect than even the physics of the CERN accelerator and things like that. It's amazing. And he's also discovered the unified field theory, which was once considered the Holy Grail, which will never be found, but he's got it. And it's one theory on how things work all the way from the great cosmos all the way down to subatomic particles. And it's the same throughout. And it's just a beautiful thing. And the part of that theory is our interconnectedness with each other, and which ties in spirituality to the physics, which, of course, I love because I'm all over spirituality and physics.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about it, and I've heard you speak about this, we're part of the same folks, Annabelle and I are part of the same spiritual community called the Circle of Miracles, and I heard you speak about this a few months ago, and I'm thinking, I'm not left brain linear logical at all, but I would have loved to have you as a professor when I was in college, and you have a story to share about that you went to Mar, which is a big deal, university in our area. What did they tell you when you were...
I was eventually I was invited to leave the scientific study in Bryn Mawr because my belief was that we had to include consciousness into the physics conversation or we were no longer relevant, that we had gotten to the point with material physics that consciousness was the next step. And they were not willing to discuss consciousness, i.e. spirituality or thought, or any of these things as any part of the physical picture. And so I was invited to leave, and I did. I was told that Bryn Mawr did not have what I was looking for by the president
okay.
of Bryn Mawr at the time.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I said, well, thank you for telling me.
Okay. So how would you define consciousness? Because that's a big, it's a big word.
Mm-hmm. Well, consciousness is, if you just look around the world, like this morning I walked my dog and my feet were getting wet from the dew on the grass. And I looked and I saw a little drop of water at the tip of every blade of grass. Every blade had a little drop of water on the very top of it. And that's why my toes were getting wet. And I was like, that's amazing. Do you know how long it would take to go out with a dropper and put a drop of water on the blade of on every tip of every blade of grass? It's like, this is not by chance. That there is a consciousness which drives our earthly existence and the cosmos. I don't believe for one second ours is the only planet where wonderful things are happening, where we can manifest into material and enjoy the bounty of this very loving consciousness. And consciousness is also the sum of our thinking. So each of us is putting out into this consciousness our thoughts. So our thoughts do have an impress on what happens in the world in a very real way, in a very real way. So things like Florida.
Go ahead.
Things like Florida, this was a man with a consciousness that he was not responsible for. He was not acting in a, he was responsible for it, but he was not acting in a responsible manner with his thoughts. He didn't take the time to work on his unloving thoughts. And what manifested was just death all around him. As a result of his consciousness.
So are you saying that with our thoughts, you know, that our thoughts, we think of thoughts as nebulous things, as something we grasp hold of, but when someone has hateful, destructive thoughts and they put them into action in the world, and as I'm talking, I've got my fist clenched, you can't see that, but when, you know, when we hold negative, fearful, painful, hateful thoughts and we unleash them onto the world, that is that what you're talking about, that our consciousness becomes physical?
Yes, but I would like to change one word that you used.
What's
in
that?
That. And rather than holding these thoughts, we believe them. If we believe these thoughts, then they will take us down one road. These thoughts occur to all of us. I mean, we've all been angry, but we don't all go out and kill people.
Right.
The difference is that the people that go out and kill people believe those thoughts. The rest of us just go on a little, you know, we vent or whatever it is that we do, and then we go, you know, either it's not important or it's not true. You know, I had, my perspective was off, you know.
Right.
And there are methods, such as the work of Byron Katie, where we can take these thoughts responsibly and on purpose, take these thoughts and change them into kinder thoughts. And the result of that is our own lives become much more pleasurable to live. Everyone around us gets a better time because we're more fun to be with. But also, it also puts into the collective consciousness a whole different vibration. And so the more of us that do these, and there are many of them. The reason I mentioned the work of Byron Katie is that was one of my paths. I use the work of Byron Katie and Course in Miracles, but there are many, many others that are very fine paths to whatever the word would be, methods to deal with these thoughts so that we don't follow them. We don't want to follow the negative thoughts. We don't want to deny them either. They're there, right? We have them, but we need to learn how to manage them.
So do they happen spontaneously? Like, do you notice this shift in perception, like Course in Miracles talks about the changes, or what are some practical, you know, I'm familiar with Byron Katie and certainly Course in Miracles, but are there, for people that are not familiar, are there things to do when these thoughts come up? We don't go, you know, don't go ballistic.
Yeah, the first thing is to breathe. connect yourself with the oxygen in the air. Just breathe. Big breath. Fill your belly all the way down to your toes. Just breathe. And funny enough, putting your hands on your hips, both hands on your hips at the same time, when you take those breaths, will start a wonderful energy circuit through your torso, which is where the heart is. And you can actually calm your heart down with your hands on your hips. Now, isn't that funny that that's also a very natural place that we put our hands when we're upset, right?
Right.
We huff and puff and we put our hands on our hips. We know this. This is innate consciousness. But if you look at the energy that runs through the body and the connectedness, our calmness, our heart actually tunes into the vibration that we are a part of. So if we want a loving vibration, it's the heart that tunes us to find the love in the world around us. If we're in a hateful vibration, it's the heart that tunes us to the hateful vibration. It's all there. None of it's more real than anything else. But why would we choose hatred, anger, and fear when just as real is joy, love, and peace? But that's a choice. You see, that's our free will. We have that choice.
Right. And there are people that I've known, you know, in the world that would say, oh, it's just easier to go to the default, you know, whatever, rather than being concrete about it. Have you experienced this yourself? You know, how do you know, you know, because a lot of people are looking for scientific validation, but are you finding that it's anecdotal for you as well, that when you breathe, when you focus on love, when you put your hands on your hips, it makes a difference? So how, you know,
I just know that it does personally. The fear instinct is an instinct that's within us. That's part of what's called the frog brain. The basic instinct of survival. Now, we here in America are in an interesting position where we don't have to worry about our survival very much, right?
Except. Yeah.
Well, yeah, some people do, but a lot of us are in a very privileged position in the world right now. And survival, where our next meal is going to come from. I realize I'm sorry, I'm painting with a white brush here.
Yeah.
So I apologize for that. Okay.
No.
But the brain will first go into fear to keep us safe, and as an instinct. And that's true no matter how much money we have or where we live or our conditions. The brain goes first to fear to keep us alive. But if it's not a life-threatening situation, that fear becomes in the form of adrenaline and other chemicals in our body, that fear runs into our bloodstream. And we have nothing to do with it. It has nowhere to go because this is not a life-threatening situation. We're not going to use it to run away from the lion or whatever, right? We don't use it, and it becomes nerves, and that's when we call it stress, and it makes us sick. It gives us dis-ease. The word dis-ease is dis and then hyphen ease. It's a lack of ease. We make ourselves sick with this potpourri of fearful chemicals that are released when we have fear. So it does come up. If we believe it, then those chemicals release into our body and we make ourselves ill and mean, right, and violent. But if when those fears come up, we go, you know, I actually have more brain than just that part, right? I can use the rest of my brain to channel this energy in a different way. And so... Like the lady who started MAD, right, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, she had that anger and that fear. It was not life-threatening to her, but she had all that energy. She chose, instead of going out and buying rifles and killing people, she chose instead to channel it into a way to help stop it from happening again, the drunk driving, to help curb drunk driving. And in doing so, she made the world a better place. She made her life better. She's met hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, I don't know, of people. And she's helped all of us by getting the laws changed as regarding drunk driving on the road.
Hey, so here's a question. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I finished.
So what I was going to say is, here's a question for you, and this is perfect time because the world was thrust into a situation over the weekend where fear was real, where there was good reason to fear. And I'm wondering,
yes,
you know, in your world, because that could just as easily have been you or Dean or any of a number of people that you know, how do you deal with that kind of fear, that kind of real people, you know, somebody, the bad man out there with a gun wanting to kill people? How do you, in your own life, personally, if you don't mind my asking, how do you handle that?
I've never been, as far as I know, in a life and death immediate situation, you know.
Right.
I have had a disease and I've faced my own mortality, but I haven't in an immediate now type of deal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know how I would react. I know how I hope I will react. And I heard some of the stories from some of the people. Like, there was a girl there who was there with her friend. And though she could have gotten out safely, she went in to bring her friend out and lost her life in doing that. I would like to believe that, first off, I've made friends with my mortality. I understand that it's actually death that gives life so much value.
Mm-hmm.
If we were just here all the time, who would care that we were here? You know, it wouldn't be a treasure, the treasure that it is, because it is fleeting and it is short, and we don't know when it's going to end. And so that thought gives it tremendous value. So one's death is about the only thing that's assured in life.
Right.
So it's
on
my
daily
hope
basis,
that if I were facing my imminent death, it would be my hope that I would do everything I could, i.e. run toward the gunman and hopefully knock him over or something, you know, get it to stop for a moment. Because I think if anyone, and I'm not saying anyone did anything wrong, please, I'm not going there, not one bit. I'm just dreaming. This is what I would hope I would do if I were in that situation. And maybe if I could knock them over, someone else could pile on top of us, you know, and it would be finished.
Yeah.
But
so,
if not,
in that,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I've never
been
there.
Yeah. And again, we don't know until we're faced with it. But in the, you know, in given your spiritual, psychological, you know, belief system, and I know that you all, in my experience, come from a place of love. How do you heal that? You know, I saw you the other night at the vigil where we were, you know, surrounded by community and love and support. How do you get through this in knowing what you know?
Yes, I draw heavily. This is where I draw heavily on A Course in Miracles and the work of Byron Katie, in that death is the only thing that's assured in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes all of this to have the full experience of life. And I'm going to see all of those people. We're going to get together on the other side, and we're going to we're going to party down. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to shake their hands. It's part of the experience. Not the best part for me. Not my favorite part.
Yeah.
But
right.
It is part of what makes this real.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
and is that,
my belief is that we have chosen to come into the material existence, and death is part of that choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's the flavor, it's the color, it's the texture. So that's it. It still hurts. There's no way to not make it hurt.
Right. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And this is, as I found in my interview, this is not where I intended it to go. It's where obviously it needed to go, because there are so many hurting people and scared people out in the world. And it took me a while. Like, the first few days, I was just numb. And it wasn't until a few days ago where I heard a radio interview about this that I finally broke through. So one of the things is,
well,
you know,
I'd like to share an experience you and I had just two days ago when we had this interview scheduled 2 days ago.
Right.
I was not there. I was not in a good mental space to do that because of what happened in Florida. And
right.
and your internet went out. And you called
right.
me and said, my internet's out. We can't do this. We have to do this some other time. And I hung up and I just said, thank you, God. That's the connectedness
yeah.
of the universe. None
right.
of us were able to do that interview at that time. And so
right.
the consciousness, the grand consciousness knew that and said, okay, you guys aren't going to just call it off
mm-hmm.
because you don't have the wherewithal
right.
to do that. So I'll take care of it for you and I'll take your internet out.
Yep, it did it. And believe it or not, once I contacted Shane, he was saying he was too hurting. He was dealing with his own pain, and he said, yeah, it's better. Let's just postpone it. And then less than an hour later, of course, the internet was back up. maybe
well,
even 10 minutes later, it was back up. So obviously,
it had served its purpose. Yeah.
Oh, it did. Absolutely. So speaking of purpose, if people want to find out on purpose what Annabella is up to, they would go to AnnabellaWood.com, AnnabellaWood.com, and you'll be able to hear her beautiful music, learn about her take on physics, on her, the Course in Miracles. She's an interfaith minister. She, the work of Byron Katie, everything, all things Annabella. You can find
and
out.
And I have
on
a
the
section
website.
There on trucking too. Don't want to forget the
trucking. Okay. Yeah, and the song
yeah.
Truck Driving Mama, which I love, which I absolutely
yeah.
love. Well, I thank you so much for our time together, and I will, I will see you shortly, I'm sure. And folks, next week, my guest is Eric Allen, who's an author. He's going to be talking about the idea of change your world, the new awakening. So until next week, thank you. I bless you. I love you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, asking you the all-important question, what does your vivid life look like? Hoping that it includes fulfilling and thriving relationships in all areas. Until next time, sending you abundant love from here.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.